Blog Talk Radio.
Time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is November the 26th, 2022, and you're tuned in to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show on the TMG and the Michael Gay Network. Happy Saturday to each and every one of you, and hope you had a great Thanksgiving and not a terrible Black Friday. This is Michael Gay, and we're broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, and we have some things to talk about. Yeah, we have some conversations. We have some topics we're going to get into throughout the show, and as my co-hosts start to chime in, let me just give you the rundown of what's going to be happening. One thing we're going to talk about, Black Friday, and what's coming up is Cyber Monday. To me, I mean, it really makes no sense to have Black Fridays anymore due to online shopping, because you can buy all that crap before Black Friday instead of going out there early in the morning, which not many people still do at all the major stores like they used to. But we're going to get into that. What's the better deal? From my understanding, it's better to go ahead and buy online now instead of being out in front of the store an hour or two before the store opens, and then to be disappointed because the store doesn't have the product that you sat outside for hours waiting to get. We'll get into that topic, also, or that story. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about what has occurred. Unfortunately, there are still bad things that happen during the holiday season. The recent shootings at Walmart, this is pretty tragic, of course. Been, what, two within 1 week, or well, really in a matter of days. And Walmart is not the only one, but since they're the biggest chain, retail chain, they seem to draw the most attention when these type of things happen in retail. So we're going to get into that. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about the murder of a young lady in Mexico. And where is this investigation going? What's going on with this? You know, friends don't murder friends, but unfortunately she was killed. And we don't know where the investigation is going at this point. Right. And also, we lost an icon just really a matter of a day ago, Miss Irene Cara. And a lot of people know her from Flashdance and Fame, of course, Fame first and then Flashdance. But she's had a hell of a career and 63 years old, 63, and we lost her. No cause of death yet. But we're going to, you know, give a little tribute and just look at her career. And whatever else comes across your mind, whatever you want to share with us, let us know. And make sure you hit the number one if you're listening on the phone line. If you're calling in on your phone line, hit the number one, and I'll open up your mic. You can chime in. But if you don't want to talk, just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS, and you can jump on the chat room and type it there, and I'll read it on the air. All right, so let's get this thing started, and I'm going to go ahead and open up the mic. Well, they were there. They put their hand back down, so okay, now they put their hand back up. Okay, it's almost like pressing the button on, what is it, Family Feud? Bam! Nope, that's all right. I want to take that press back. But here she is, the lady of the house, the one, the only, Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins. Davis.
Hey, listen, Michael, I thought maybe you didn't see my hand being raised, so that's why
I try to make it short and sweet as far as what we're going to try to discuss, which we're going to pretty much get everything, you know, out there and talk about it. But how's your day so far? Happy Saturday.
It was great. The Thanksgiving was awesome. So much food, I couldn't even tell you everything we had. But
okay.
It was really good. I had a Thanksgiving at my daughter's, but I cooked at home also. I did my famous, I don't call it macaroni, shells and cheese. I used a little tiny shell. I put 16 different cheeses in it this time.
Wait a minute. 16 different cheeses?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know there was such thing as 16 different cheeses. What did you do?
No, it's 100.
Around the country or around the world? I mean, where do you get 16 different cheeses from? I don't even see 16 different cheeses in the grocery store. I see 16 different brands.
Yes, you do, Michael.
I guess I don't pay attention. There's mild. I know there's different, you know, types of, I mean, like there's a mild cheddar, there's a, you know, a stronger one, and this and the other one. 16 different cheeses. Okay. I have to look for that.
No,
I mean, I know cheddar, I know provolone, I know cheddar, provolone, I know ricotta, I know, I know there's a lot of different types of cheeses, but, 16.
Yeah, my grandkids be looking for that cheese, too, that pasta dish. You know, I came
now
up 20 minutes late.
But my next question is, okay, I'm not going to get into your pocketbook, but I know that must have been one expensive macaroni
yes, it
and cheese.
Was.
Cause, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Well,
I'd be afraid to eat it because I'd be like, how much I got to pay for this slice? I mean, this spoonful of macaroni, I know no restaurant would serve that unless it's a high-end restaurant.
No, and I use one of the real big, long pans that you put the sterno cans under. So it's not a small thing of macaroni and cheese. It's a huge
I would imagine.
Pan.
Well, I would imagine. 16 cheeses. Okay, you threw me on that one. I have to figure that one out. Okay, so Ashley, and I already gave you guys the rundown of what we're going to talk about, but I said I wasn't going to talk any politics, but I can't help but this one now. We're not going to talk about Donald Trump. Okay, we're not going to talk about Donald Trump at all. But I couldn't pass this one up. And you know who I'm talking about. I couldn't pass up what he said earlier this week. You know who I'm talking about.
You talking about Walker?
I couldn't pass it up. I'm sorry, you guys. I just couldn't pass it up. And if you haven't seen the clip, I recommend you go on the YouTube and look at this clip where he's flanked by two major individuals for the Republican Party. But when he makes this comment, see, it furthermore...
They look at him what the hell? Excuse my friend.
Furthermore, it makes me truly believe this guy's off his rocker, because his comment had a sexual type thing to it. You know what I'm talking about, okay? It's like, where was his mind at when this came about? I want you guys to take a listen to this, all right? He doesn't say it the first time, which he had the chance to say it right the first time. Janet, you've seen it. But just I want you folks who are listening, if you haven't seen it, I want you to listen to it. I'm going to play it twice, but listen to what is said here. Here we go.
I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this very powerful erection. Yes, but Herschel Walker flanked last night on Fox News by Senator Lindsey Graham and Senator Ted Cruz, said that what's happening in Georgia, this erection is about the people.
Well, first of all, this election is more than Herschel Walker. This election is about the people.
Yeah.
Did you hear what he said? He said election right the first time. How can you screw the hell up the second time? What went through your mind? You said election. You did well the first time. But the second time around, what went through your head? What vision of one of your accusers went through your mind and you thought about what you were doing with that accuser?
Maybe one of them was in the front row, you know? But I know the
staring
look on
them
down.
I can't help you guys. I'm sorry. I gotta play it one more time. By the way, I took this clip from another media source, but I got to play it one more time so you can listen closely. He had the opportunity to do it right. Probably he shouldn't have tried to say it the second time, but here we go.
I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this very powerful erection. Yes, but Herschel Walker flanked last night on Fox News by Senator Lindsey Graham and Senator Ted Cruz, said that what's happening in Georgia, this erection is about the people.
Well, first of all, this election is more than Herschel Walker. This election is about the people.
Now, for you folks who haven't seen it, I'm telling you, you have to take a look at the expression of Lindsey Graham and Ted Cruz. The way they both, it looks like both of them are looking in the camera, right? Are looking at Herschel in a sense. And when he says that, they kind of like took their eyes off of Herschel and looked at each other and said, what did this say? What did he just say?
Michael, it was the same when he talked about the bull looking eyeing the three cows up on the hill, and he was in the fence with three pregnant bulls, and Ron Johnson and this other senator was looking at him like, what the heck? I mean, the look on their face was worth $1 million, you know? But they got to back him because somebody selected him.
But
I didn't say the name.
But here's the thing, I have to say this, and there are individuals that are, you know, that have shows, and I listen into some of the shows. I sometimes chime in, and which you know a few of them, and they talk shit to me. They'd be like, oh, Michael Gay, you don't know nothing about politics. I've said, I know one thing, not to vote for Herschel Walker. I know that much. But you ignorant asses will, because you all just trying to get power. You're not looking at knowledge. You're not looking at who's knowledgeable, who can actually do something. You're looking at getting a puppet. And it's very obvious to even some Republicans. It's very obvious. There's a woman who says, yes, she voted for Kemp, for governor.
but she will not vote for Herschel Walker as a senator. And this has nothing to do with race, because he's black.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he is not fit.
Mm-mm.
He's not fit. And I said this before, with all the educated, more prominent black Republicans in the state of Georgia who you could have tapped, why not them? Why did you have to have Herschel Walker move from Texas back to Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
We had plenty of black Georgians here, educated. And you know, I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not educating, I'm sorry, I'm not debating Herschel Walker's education. But we do know he lied about being top of his class. We do know you can't be top of your class if you did not finish college.
They just
right?
wanted, yes, they just wanted a body. They didn't care about the how experienced the person was or the knowledge they have instored in within them. They just needed a body. And
a black
for
body
some
is
reason,
that.
People, right, that's our Gary says, some people have a tendency to think because the person is black and he's a football star or an actor or something, we're going to just, oh, my gosh, we're going to vote for him. No, it don't work that
well,
way.
Yeah. Well, in my opinion, I think they're depending on that the black community is that ignorant. And to
yeah.
be honest, I think some of us are. I'm sorry, you know, I shoot from the hip, just like the Western days. I think some of us are that ignorant
mm-hmm.
to go ahead and vote and not do the research. That the man done lied many a times about a lot of things. You know, I'm not questioning about his whole issue with his family. See, that's something different. I'm questioning the statements he made of where he is a police officer. And even the Cobb County Police, which I live in Cobb County, says we have no record of him being sworn as an officer. Now let's go back.
What about the FBI?
And FBI. Shaquille O'Neal is a sheriff in Florida. That is not that badge he carries is not a token. You do know that. He is a sworn sheriff. But Herschel Walker, during the debate, we all saw it, he's going to put this little honorary, you know, token up and feel like he's a sheriff. Like they say, I'm sorry, I'm going to say exactly what one comedian said. And don't be offended, but this is what the comic said. Give a nigga a rope, want to be a cowboy.
That's my saying.
Come here.
Give him enough rope to
and maybe
themselves.
That's what they figured. They figured, you know what, if we give him a badge, if we give him a chance, you know, he's going to want to be a cowboy. But guess what? We are the sheriffs, and we will control him. And that's what they're doing. But it goes back to not just the ignorance of black folks, but the ignorance of white folks who are going to back him knowing he will have no power whatsoever in the Senate. He will be controlled.
All they wanted him to do is say yes. That's all. Vote yes or lockstep. Mm-hmm. That's it.
I have to play devil's advocate. I have to play devil's advocate on this one, because a lot of folks say, "Oh, Michael, you are liberal." You know, look, I vote for the best person, you know, with the right, you know, what I want to hear, what I want to see, not just hear, but what I want to see. I look at a person's background. But now let's look at the whole thing with Warnock and his property. Let's look at the whole thing about the housing place that he has. He's getting a lot of backlash on that. What's your thoughts on that, Janet?
Backlash on what?
On the property that he has here in Georgia, where there's accusations of where they're unfit. There's problems with the plumbing. There's problems with just overall. It's just allegedly it's supposed to be just an awful place that they even said that there has been a corpse
found there, more than one corpse
so
found
he's
on
more
the
like
property.
A slumlord?
Granted, he's not the maintenance guy, but it is his property. What's your thoughts about that? And when he's questioned about it, I'm going to be honest, he hasn't really come forward himself about what is being done to correct those or to dispel those allegations.
He hasn't tried to correct any allegations, really, that has been thrown out there about him, you know, because some of the mm-hmm. most of the things came from out of his mouth. So how are you going to try to defend something when you know what you're talking about is not true? Just like when he said he had 800 employees and he only had 8.
No, I'm not talking about Walker. I'm talking about Warnock. The allegations about the properties here in Georgia.
I missed that.
Where there's allegations of his properties of being in disarray.
I don't believe it. Because all the commercials that I have seen on the news and on TV and, you know, I know for a fact those things are not true because I fact check most of everything I see that don't sound right. I go and I check it. I'm a Google guru, you know. So when you look at some of the things that people were saying about him, like voting, you know, in all the states and giving, it's like he's just giving away money and he's always voting for Biden. And what is the other side party doing? They all voting like that. Once they know, they all say no.
Okay, you don't believe it, but I'm saying that you said that you do your research and everything. Now, I'm just saying, again, and when I say the devil's advocate, I'm not saying to Republicans that you're devils, okay? I'm just saying the negative, which that's how the devil works, but I'm playing that role. I have to look at where, you know, we speak so highly of certain individuals, and sometimes we down the others. I have to look at where there's two sides to the story. I have to look at the fact that, yes, there are allegations about Warnock not taking care of his properties. There's stuff that's being broadcast, all the negatives and everything. They went as far, that Warnock has went as far of where his campaign are showing a clip of from the movie Django, you know, Samuel L. Jackson's character, and it says, you know, not all skin folk are kinfolk. I mean, they've gone to that point. Right? I don't know if you've seen this clip. People in other states, I'm sure you guys haven't seen it, but you can go to YouTube and see it. And I'm like, wow, they're getting really deep. But neither party is talking about what the people want and need. It's either Walker saying, Warnock is not doing what he promised you. And then Walker saying, I will do this. And then there's Warnock saying, well, you see, he lied about this, that, and the other. We know this. But what are you going to do? No one is running on the issue. And not just those two, but pretty much everybody that has ran for the midterm, and many of them who lost, were the fact that they didn't run on the issues. They ran on attack each other. And I think most of the American public is getting wise to the fact that we don't want to hear your fucking debates. Excuse my language. You guys know I don't normally cuss, but then when I'm very adamant, I'm adamant. But we don't want to hear this personal attack. We want to hear what are you going to do to make it better, which most politicians used to do. But the American people are that stupid to vote for someone that, you know, really don't know of the issues at hand on, as they say, both sides. But I'm kind of curious about this whole thing. I did do a little looking up on the property that Warnock has. There have been some complaints. The story about which Walker's campaign keeps pushing this video of the alleged incident that he had with his ex-wife where he allegedly ran over her foot. But there's documentation that the paramedics who came there said there was no bruising whatsoever. If a damn something $1,000 car tire, meaning the car itself and the weight of the car, runs over your foot, I don't care if you're white or black, there's going to be some bruising. There's going to be something showing something heavy landed on your foot. or ran over your foot, and they said there was no bruise. Okay. So I'm just curious.
So, Michael, when you did your research and you said you saw mm-hmm. where about the some evictions or whatever, where'd you get that from? Because I'm looking at it up again. I said that I've looked.
I've seen a bunch of stories. I didn't say they were true. I'm just saying I looked to see, you know, if these are being posted. That's how come I asked you, do you believe in these allegations of what's going on? But I'm going to look it up again.
I don't believe in the allegations because I'm reading some stuff right now, and it's not saying that he actually a slumlord. They're trying to call him one, but they're trying to tie him to Biden and said that our inflation is so at an all-time high. They forget what caused the inflation in the first place, you know, what started the whole thing. It wasn't on Biden's watch. If anything, it's getting better because our food, all these ships was out there in the water, not being able to unload when he got in office. Do people remember that? Probably don't.
Okay, hold on a minute. I'm pulling this up here. So Warnock Properties, which is the LLC, focus on new home construction. I'm trying to find this, and I understand that there's
they're trying to say he invented residence for as little as $30 in back rent. When he gets from the church, they pay him a monthly salary of $7,500 a month. That's his housing allowance.
Okay, I'm just going to bring up something here. Well, let me say this. This is from. And I always try to say where I'm reading it from so you can take a look. I'm not sure how credible each one is. That's how I tell you who it is. This is from the Washington Free Beacon. It says, vicious and venomous. It says, Raphael Warnock says critics of his church's evictions are attacking Jesus. Okay, that's one. It says that, and this is as early as November the 15th. Says Warnock on Sunday said people who criticize his church for evicting residents from its low-income apartment building, quote, attack the Church of Jesus Christ and are motivated by the rulers of the darkness of this world. Warnock has come under the fire following a Washington Free Beacon report that the Ebenezer Baptist Church, where he serves as senior pastor, owns an apartment building that moved to evict residents during the pandemic for as little as $28.55 in past due rent. Warnock on Sunday alluded to the criticisms while delivering a sermon at Ebenezer, telling the congregation he was, quote, troubled by the folk who have the nerve and the unmitigated audacity to attack the church, which he called the spiritual home of Martin Luther King Jr., America's spiritual church. Okay, so, and I'm just going to read a little bit more than you can follow up and see your thoughts, but it says Warnock did not disclose the identity of his foes or the nature of their attacks. But his comments came just 2 days after the Free Beacon reported that the Georgia Secretary of State is weighing whether to file a formal subpoena against a charity controlled by Warnock's church for failing to cooperate with an inquiry into its charity registration. Walker's Republican opponent, Herschel Walker, on Thursday launched the Evict Warnock bus tour ahead of Georgia's December 6th runoff. By the way, it's right around the corner. All right, so what's your thoughts about that? You're saying that all these claims are false, correct?
Well, I just know that McConnell, the thing that, okay, I'm going to pull it up. It says, Walker's campaign, that's Walker, hold on, I'm sorry. I was reading about McConnell, hold on. I should
have kept McConnell,
it.
Right.
Denied it. Okay, he denied the allegations. Okay, so it says, a low-income apartment building tied to Senator Raphael Warnock is filing eviction notices against residents. The anchor says, It then cuts to a second news report that claims court documents outline eviction notices against a low-income resident for failure to pay rent. The announcer also adds, in fact, that Raphael Warnock and Joe Biden are hurting people all over Georgia. Their reckless spend keeps driving up inflation, higher costs on everything. Their billions in higher taxes will crush low- and middle-income Georgians. Let's evict Raphael Warnock and stop them from hurting Georgia. This is a bunch of bull crap, and we all know it. It's because they're trying
and
to get...
And how do we know that? I mean, okay, but, well, first I want to ask you, where did you get that from?
Washington Examiner. The Washington Examiner.
Okay.
That's where I got
all
it
right.
from.
So here's the thing.
It's
like Buy the
Super PAC. They launched this commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, I said it's a bunch of bull because the Build Back Better plan that Joe Biden put out there is really going to bring the deficit down. Our deficit is at a all-time high because of what happened in the previous administration. It's not from what the administration is doing now. If they look and they read and fact check, they'll see that most of the things that Biden has put in place is to help the middle and low-income people, not the rich. Gracious.
Okay. I mean, well, you know, when you say that, and okay, great. And again, I say, you know, things change, you know, daily. But what I'm saying is this, when I see the videos here, when I see the clips that the Walker campaign is putting up about Warnock, they have folks on the video, but they block them out. They don't show their faces. Now, I don't know how true it is, to be honest. I really don't. I'm assuming that they're talking to the people who live on the premises of what's going on.
Well, I'm
going to
do a fact check right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Again, see, as I said, I, when I say the devil's advocate, I'm saying the fact that where we hear something that we think is wrong or it's not correct, we got to look into it. I'm really curious about who these folks are. Now, you know, a lot of folks, just let me finish. A lot of folks don't want to be on camera, but they'll speak their mind, right? You know, they'll let you hear what they have to say, but they don't want to be on camera, especially black folks, most of us. Some of us will go on camera, all right, and they pick and choose who they want. But this is kind of interesting, and there's something to look at. And here's something that someone said before, is that for us to be in a runoff, here are two black men of two totally different backgrounds, basically, to a certain extent. One became a football player, other became a minister, and now a politician. And they're put together in a competition to be senator, or one of the senators of the state of Georgia. And now in a runoff, which most people would automatically say, pick the guy who is the minister and who's been there. Most people would think that. Instead of an unknown, when I say unknown, I mean in the political field, of a person who played football and has all these allegations of his past, meaning, of course, we already know his marriage and his kids and all that type of stuff. But we're in a runoff. It's pretty much a tie. How did it get to that point? It's got to tell you something. Either people are willing to give him a chance, meaning Walker, because they're not happy with what Warnock is doing. All right. Because Warnock,
people who are in Georgia are happy with what Warnock has done.
Warnock. Yeah, but Warnock became senator. But how did Warnock become senator? You remember?
What do you mean, how did he become? He ran to be a senator.
Okay. So why is he in a...
Because John Lewis died?
But the thing is that, okay, so he became senator, right? Georgia went from red state to what do they call it now? After you know, two senators took the House, which was Warnock and Oshkosh, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you get the understand my question now? And I know you're very intelligent, Janet. I'm not trying to disrespect your knowledge, but how do you go from a person who became senator to having to run for office against a person who's never been in office? It's obvious he is. He's
well,
not.
Well, it's because the party of the opposite party put Walker in there to run. And then you know, no matter how intelligent a person can be, if they want a certain person to run, that's who they're going to back. That's who they backed was Walker. And when and reason why Warnock had to run again is because didn't he take over for John Lewis after he died?
Hold on,
and
I'm
so
sorry.
You
I'm
that time? Huh?
Hold on a minute. I'm going to go back. I'm going to give you a little information on that. In the meantime, we're going to take a look at something else. But here's the thing where, and again, I just want to go back and of course, we already went over the fact that here's two black men. And you guys might say, some folks might say, that have nothing to do with it. Yes, it does. It has a lot to do with it. It has a lot to do with it. And again,
well,
I'll say.
The reason why he had to run again and Ossoff didn't run again is because he filled in when someone dies and they had to fill in that slot. He ran to get that slot from John Lewis.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so now the regular John Lewis's term was up, so his regular election was this time. So that's why he had to be back on the thing again, the ballot again.
There you go. All right, so it was due to the death of John Lewis, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how Warnock became senator. Had to put somebody in office. Correct?
Yeah.
And so the Republicans said, hey, you know what? That came up so quick and everything, but this time around, we're going to make a difference. It's got to be a full election, not that emergency thing, because that's basically what happened when John Lewis died. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is my thinking. It was the Republican Party was not prepared for this, or prepared for that. But this time they said we're going to be ready. You follow me? We're going to be ready, and we're going to have our guy, which obviously is Walker.
Well,
and again,
they were ready before because they had Purdue. And I forgot the lady's name. They were running. They lost.
Yeah, but
they were ready.
Look at the
but
word.
This time they ready because they put a black guy there? That's why they
ready
now?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. They said it didn't work with the white guy. Because he's too Republican. He's too right-wing. Purdue is too right-wing. And the lady was too. So they figure, let's get a celebrity. And that's the thing that gets me. Celebrity politicians. It's based on being a celebrity in some cases, not all. But celebrity politicians is really interesting. Hold on a minute. I'm trying to click on something, you guys. Please bear with me. I see some folks here on the board. Again, if you have any questions or comments, if you're in the chat room, go ahead and put in your question or comment. I'll read it on the air. The people who are on the board, hit the number one and wave your hand. I'll open up your mic and let you chime in. Time is now 6:40, and we're going to move on to other topics, but we're going to keep this one going for a moment. I'll let it run until the top of the hour.
Can I say something else?
Sure.
Can
go,
I say one thing? All right. A lot of black Baptist churches do not play. If Warnock is running around telling lies and being a slumlord, do you think they would actually keep him as pastor of that church? which is the church that was Martin Luther King Jr.'s?
Senior and junior, right.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's a good question. And the question is, well, I can't say yes or no, but I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest. Now, hold on. You asked me a question. Let me answer, please. Because it still goes back to the same thing that you said and like a lot of folks look at. You're not going to remove the power. If Warnock is a very powerful pastor in that church, you're not going to cut your nose off despite your face. If they feel like, if the Republicans feel like, well, look, we need to keep power, and we're willing to go ahead and put Walker up as a sacrificial lamb, we'll do it. But I think most black folks are going to be like, well, we're not going to, you know, just leave this church based on allegations and this and the other about something that they may not have researched themselves.
People do. Leave the church when a pastor is not doing what he's supposed to do. If they can't get rid of their pastor, they leave the church.
Trust me, I'm very much aware of that. You know I'm very much aware of that. You know a church. I know that many people.
Yeah, but that was an AME, not a Baptist.
It doesn't matter. People are people, though, Janet. It doesn't matter of the congregation. No.
I'm
to be honest with you.
I'm a member of the AME, too,
it
Michael.
I know. But I'm saying it doesn't matter of what religion, what if you're AME, if you're Baptist, if you're Jehovah's Witness, it doesn't matter.
They get rid of somebody when they're not doing right. They don't let them stay up there in the pulpit. How are you going to, a shepherd going to lead the sheep if the sheep is going astray because the pastor is crooked?
But Janet, it depends on an individual's choice.
Mm-mm.
There were people who were leaving that church which we're not going to get into that whole story because that's a whole different topic. But you know as well as I do, a lot of folks left that church because that pastor duped them to thinking he was single, but he wasn't, because on Friends and Family Day, he brought his fiance up there and he shot the hell out of a lot of women. All right. You know that story, but we're not going to get into that. All right. So, and then he still, you know, moved on and did other things that were not right by the church.
That was before my time. I don't know about that pastor.
Well, I understand that. Okay. But we're not going to get into that whole story because now we're getting off base. But there's someone calling in, though. Let's go to 209-689. I see they're waving their hand. And I know who this is because they texted me and told me that they're going to be calling from this number. I do believe this is the host of Let's Talk About It, Ms. Cotton Campbell. What's up, my sister?
Hey, everybody. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am blessed. I will not complain. I have none. I'm in Vegas.
Oh. Well, next time you say you are in Vegas?
I am in Vegas right now.
Well, next time you go to Vegas, let me know so I can come join you.
You know what, Cotton? You remember back in the day when folks say, I'm going to give you a roll of quarters and play my roll of quarters, and if you win, I'll give you half.
Oh.
You know that never worked. If you won $1 million, not saying you personally, but you know most folks would not split that. Be like, oh, that wasn't your roll.
That's true.
I didn't say
that came
her
from
a roll
mine. That came
said
from
I
my roll.
You said that,
to be there.
You said you're going
to
join her. I just said, you remember when people used to do that? Used to give folks a few dollars and say,
$20
hey, play
to play black. Uh-huh. They play on black. Put it on black.
And, like, if they win, they're going to actually say, yeah, that was your $20 bill. Uh-uh. That don't work. But, hey, how you doing? Did you hear the conversation?
I heard a little bit of it.
Okay. What's your thoughts about this whole runoff thing? Again, for all the listeners, this is a Georgia thing, but it is something that is going to have a major effect throughout the United States based on the Senate. Okay, it's going to have an effect. Who gets that seat? What's your thoughts about these two? As I said, black individuals come from two different backgrounds. One's a minister, and still the senator, one of the senators, and then one's a former
athlete trying to be a senator, and I played the clip, and I really don't want to play it again, but if need be, I will, of where this guy, I mean, he's constantly making mistakes when he's doing speeches, and you know what I mean? He's constantly slipping up on his words, but he's getting a pass. They're making excuses.
I've seen, we're talking about Herschel, right? You talking about Herschel?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've only seen a little or heard a little bit about him, and I don't know that I would want somebody who would put a gun to his wife's face. I'm probably, that just stopped me right there. Like, I'm good, because the crazy thing is we're making this normal. So we put number 45 in as a president who was clearly somebody who was sexually harassing women and groping women, and he openly admitted that. So now we want to put, and it may be of their past, and I get that, but that doesn't mean something like that, that doesn't mean he hasn't done it again or won't do it again. For me, that's just, I'm going to stop right. No, you can't look over nothing I'm doing. You can't look over my toilet paper. Don't look over my receipts, nothing. I'm good.
Your toilet paper. Okay, I've never heard that one before. That's interesting. Can't look over my toilet paper. Well, wow. I don't know. I mean, we can talk about this all evening long, and
I just pulled something up.
Go right ahead.
NRSC misleading attack on Warnock. An ad from the National Republican Senatorial Committee makes two misleading claims about votes cast by Democrat Senator Raphael Warnock of Georgia. The ad claims he voted with Biden to slash Medicare spending. The bill seeks to cut costs by allowing Medicare to negotiate some prescription drug prices, not by cutting benefits. The ad says that Warnock voted with Biden to cripple U.S. oil production. The ad cites votes against two symbolic amendments proposed by Republicans during 2021 vote, Orama, about the U.S. oil production has increased during Warnock's time in office and is protected by the energy information. So you got people, I can finish reading the whole thing, but you got all these false claims that they put out here for commercial to try to make paint a person as being some negative slumlord, lying about having a dog, and all these other things, running his wife foot over with the car. She would have been in the hospital in a cast if the car had ran over her foot.
Well, that's,
you know,
what I said. Right. That's what I said, is that where there was those allegations
so
that
said,
he did
in
that.
So they said fact-checking, misleading claims. It's false.
Well, and again, I said that where when the paramedics got there, they said that they did not see any kind of swelling whatsoever. So that leads me to believe that that was a false claim. But as time goes on, or as this goes on, they're still saying that, or they're still advertising this. They're still putting this on television, and people are believing it. That's all I'm trying to explain, is that people are still believing this after you go and read the report that says that this is not true. And if you look at the report from the paramedics and what they found when they got
there. When they voted to get the $1.9 trillion pandemic, when they gave us those checks, the $1,400 checks, you know, that's the thing when they said he was voting with Biden and he was messing up the inflation and, you know, all this unnecessary in spending, you know, but it was a rescue plan to help the people that needed help during unemployment, you know, and the pandemic. I can send you this whole article, Michael.
I'm sorry?
I can send you the whole article. It talks about Medicare spending, the oil production. It talks about the pandemic. It talks about, you know, all the things that Warnock has done and the Republicans are given misleading attacks on him because of the things that he did. It's a fact check.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm listening to you, but I'm just looking at the board also. I'm just making sure that I'm keeping track with the board. So I apologize. I'm listening exactly to what you're saying. It's just that the screen kind of changed size on me, so I'm trying to redo it. And there we go. I see there's a couple of people in the chat room, so I'm just trying to keep monitor of them. All right, so let me go ahead and let's move on to another topic, you guys, because we could talk about this forever. But by the way, the runoff actually starts on, let's see, what is it, the 6th? No, actually, you can vote now, starting Monday, I believe.
Monday.
I think Monday,
the
27th. Right? Yeah, you
Monday,
can start.
The 27th.
And you can have your vote in before the 6th, before the end of the day, on the 6th.
The early
of,
runoff is from the 27th to the 2nd of December. Then you have to vote in the major election runoff.
Right.
Which is
right,
the 6th.
Which will be the 6th, correct. Okay, so I don't know if I want to go to Cyber Monday yet, but no, I want to go to the Walmart shootings. I know, you guys, it's holiday season. We shouldn't have to talk about it. You know what? But unfortunately, life and death still goes on. Recently, there's been 2 shootings at Walmart, and I'm pretty sure at other retail stores that you don't hear about. But here's the one about a manager who shot and killed, I think the number was 6 people. And just recently, as Black Friday, another shooting at another Walmart. This is scary. This is really scary that you go shopping. And then again, the first one, it had nothing to do with customers. It was a killing of coworkers. This manager murdered his coworkers. And I'm going to be honest, it scared me because I'm thinking there's some weird people I work with too, you know, because I work at a store, and it's kind of scary. And I just want to, you give me a moment, just want to give you guys a little bit of information if you don't know about it. I want to give you a little information because I did read about it, and I was told, but this happened in Chesapeake, Virginia. And this comes from CNN. The youngest of 6 victims in a deadly Walmart shooting at a Virginia Walmart has been identified as authorities learn more about the gunman. The story goes on to say, if I scroll down, the youngest victim in this week's mass shooting inside a Walmart in Chesapeake, Virginia, is a 16-year-old employee who reportedly used his first paycheck to buy his mother a gift before he was killed 2 days ahead of Thanksgiving. Fernando Chavez Barron, along with 5 other coworkers, was shot and killed Tuesday night when a manager opened fire in an employee break room during a meeting before killing himself, according to a social media post from the city of Chesapeake. As authorities work to learn more about the gunman, including publicly releasing a note found on his phone after the shooting, friends of the 16-year-old killed are mourning. Trying to see here. And this story is pretty much about the individual who was killed. Okay, so no. Since the shooting, authorities have been trying to determine the motive for the sudden eruption of gunfire in a workplace 2 days before Thanksgiving. Officials on Friday released details of writings from the shooter's phone obtained after the tragedy. The writing titled Death Note, now that's quote, end quote, Death Note, found on the shooter's phone contained grievances against people in his life, including some coworkers, according to the city's Twitter account Friday. The note mentions God, the Holy Spirit, and how the author felt
He was mocked by his associates, a job title Walmart uses for some of its employees. Quote, the associates gave me evil, twisted grins, mocked me, and celebrated my downfall the last day. That's why they suffer the same fate as me, the note says. Quote, I wish I could have saved everyone from myself. My God, forgive me. I'm sorry, I had something pop up on my screen which should not have. May God forgive me for what I'm going to do. Goes on to say, well, I'm going to stop there. He wrote a note on his phone. And commenced to kill him. Went forward and killed six people. Well, actually five, I believe is correct. Five people before killing himself.
Mm-hmm.
Reading
they
another
said he killed
post.
Six. He killed six before he turned the gun on himself.
Okay. Maybe I read it wrong because I took it where they said six dead, including the gunman. And always keep in mind that sometimes the media will get it wrong and then they correct themselves as far as the count because, you know, they try to be the first to put the information out there, then they have to come back and change it. So that's what I saw. But here's the thing. Another host of another show had posted something that said something on their show where some people said, including employees, never thought he would have done this. There was no telltale signs. So I want to ask you guys, but should there have been some? And how do you know? This was a manager. This was a supervisor, a person in charge of his staff. When you come to work and your manager is not happy with your, you know, with your performance, and he said, let me call you into the office and talk to you about this. Hey, you're not doing great and everything. You need to step up your game and everything. You don't talk back to them, right? You don't think, well, what the hell you mean? Blah, 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 blah. You don't do that. You'd be like, you know, okay, I'll work on it. That's what you would think. But looking at or reading what he said, how he felt the employees were down in him instead of him down in them. And again, we don't know what kind of manager he was. But I did read where they said that he was kind of different.
So there were kind of signs.
So there should have been some telltale signs.
So
not
there were.
The fact that he was
you thought
yeah, not the fact that
you
he was
saw
both that extreme. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that I don't think that there was telltale signs that he would kill people. But there was telltale. There should have been some signs that he was disturbed or he was uncomfortable. Or, I mean, if he was a store manager, see, that's not clarified because Walmart has. Well, they don't call them assistant managers or this and that. Yeah, they have other terminologies for folks that are in a different, you know, level of being a supervisor. I wish they would have made it more clear. But the things that were, if he was the store manager, well, then those other supervisors should have noticed something about him, right? They should have noticed something different and probably went to, you know, a district supervisor.
Was he a manager or team lead, Michael?
Look, they said manager. They said manager. That's according to what I'm reading. I don't know what you see, but they say here, manager. But,
well,
and again,
I'm reading they
their...
said team lead. And what I saw on TV
okay,
was team lead.
Well, the thing is, a team lead is...
It's not a manager.
No, no. Okay. I'll explain to you.
You don't have to, like, I was in management.
No, listen. I'll explain it because I can't. You have a store manager. then you have what you call a coach. Then underneath a coach is a team lead. Now, let me clarify what the way I see it. There's a store manager. A coach is basically an assistant manager. A team lead is like a department supervisor. Okay?
But it's not
like
a manager.
Home Depot and Lowe's, well, Home Depot and Lowe's, they still have store manager, assistant manager, department supervisors. Walmart just has a different way of giving titles. It's just like, you know, you used to be called an employee. Can I just finish out? It's just like you used to be called an employee, but now they use the term associate. So different companies have different names and titles for what level you are as being a supervisor. Now, what you're reading,
it's a big jump between a lead and a manager. It's a lead. It's a jump in there. A team lead and a manager is not the same.
I just explained it. I just did it, James. I just explained it. I just said you have a store manager. Then underneath that, you have a coach, which is pretty much an assistant manager. Okay? When the manager of the store is not there, then the next one in charge at the top of the run is a coach. Then after that, you have team lead, which basically team leads are department managers, which is the same as if you have any other company. What?
We need to move on because I know better.
No, wait. Hold on. What do you know better?
I am not. I know for
I'm
a fact.
I'm explaining to you from what I know because I do it every
manager.
Day, Janet. We're not talking to Janet. Can't hold on now. I'm not going to move on. Okay, we're not going to debate. I'm telling what I know, and what I do know is that what I just
that
explained.
A lead and a manager
you have
is not
a store. You
thing.
Have a store no manager. You have a store manager. You have a store manager, Janet. Okay? You have a store manager. Everybody knows.
An assistant store manager is still not a lead.
Excuse me. I'm still trying to speak. You have a store manager. From what I do know, then you have coaches. Now, you may have an assistant to the store manager, which actually, you know, they are pretty much coaches still. After the coaches come team leads. I just explained that the only thing is just the way they are, their titles are. It's just like I just said, Home Depot and Lowe's, they don't use the term coach and lead. They use the term store manager,
assistant manager.
So
in this article, when you're talking about a team lead, you're trying to say the team lead is a manager.
I did not say that. You didn't listen. No, you didn't listen. I'm going to explain it one more. I'm going to explain it one more time. I'm going to put everybody on mute so you hear me clearly. Okay, I want everybody to hear me clearly. A team lead is not a store manager. A team lead is basically the supervisor of the store. You have team leads that are over an electronic area. You have a team lead that's over the hardline area. You have a team lead that's over the front end. You have a team lead. You have team leads in various departments, okay, in a supervisory position. Team lead is at the bottom of the list, but they are in a supervisory position of their department. And if need be, can supervise associates in other departments if called on. The coaches over all team leads and associates, okay? And you have a store manager. That's the rank and file. I should know. Okay, so I'm not going to debate that, but I should know. But the terminology is really really makes no difference. Because if you look at it in the sense of where other companies still use the terminology of store manager, assistant manager, department supervisor. Say it in this way, store manager, coach, team lead. It's still the same thing. Still the same thing, just different terminology. Okay? So I unmute the mic. Everybody can chime in. I just want to make you understand what I was saying. All right. So going forward, there should have been, I think Cotton was saying there should have been something, but Janet, did you want to respond first before I go back to Cotton? Because I think she said that there should have been some kind of warning. No, okay, Cotton, your mic's open. What do you think should have been the warning? What do you think should have been the warning?
There's no telltale. There's no specific thing that should be a warning sign. Like anytime you see somebody having difficulties or they just seem a little odd, have a conversation with them and find out. Because what we do as people, we say, oh, that's just how they are. No, don't do that. Sit down and have a conversation with that person, see if they need some counseling. Maybe something's going on at home. Maybe the work is too much. Maybe it's the people at the work that's too much. We do that thing where we just let it slide. Oh, they just bend them. It's okay. They don't mean no harm until they do.
And you know what? Now, let me say this, and anybody could chime in, but go back to what I read of the note, okay, that he wrote. I'm going to read this parts of it again. They said that officials on Friday released details of writings from the shooter's phone. The writings titled, quote, Death Note. He knew he was going to die and he was going to take people with him. End quotes. This was found on the shooter's phone, contained grievances against people in his life, including some coworkers, according to the city's Twitter account. The note mentions God, the Holy Spirit, and how the author felt he was mocked by his, quote, associates, coworkers. And then he says, quote, the associates gave me evil, twisted grins, mocked me, and celebrated my downfall the last day. So what was the downfall? We don't know that. And then it says, that's why they suffer the same fate as me. So what was the downfall? He says here, these are his quotes. He puts here, I wish I could have saved everyone from myself. Now, where he says, I wish I could have saved everyone. No, where he says, well, when he says, the associates gave me evil, twisted grins, mocked me and celebrated my downfall the last day. What was the significance of him putting that in there? His last day what? Was he being removed, fired? So now you got to look into, well, what was his status as a manager prior to him doing what he did? Now I'm going by what these notes say was on his phone.
Well, obviously, he was still a team lead at that time. The store manager never came in and say, oh, we demoted him. So that can't be it.
Well,
I'm sure they interviewed the store manager and the people that were sitting in that meeting. Because I saw one young lady speaking, and she said she saw him pull out the gun. And for whatever reason, he looked right at her, but he didn't shoot her. He was shooting specific people.
I saw that, and I read where this one said that he shot at her, but the bullet missed her. I read that part, okay? And again, we're not sure how, you know, all these different stories. Again, we have to look at it where, you know, I read them all and then look at how you piece it all together. There was one individual who was in the break room. They said there was about, what, 15 to 20 people in the room. According to this one article. 15 to 20 people were in the room. I read one where one said that he told her get out, to leave. An older woman claims that he told her to go.
Yeah, because he was targeting specific people.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that he felt was that made fun of him, probably, or disrespected him in any way, or questioned his authority, whatever it is, he wanted to make sure he got the right people. So it was whatever plan it was, but this is why, because it's not just kids being a bully, adults are being bullied in the workplace as well. But most people don't see it as that because they think it's just a joke and you're adult now, you should be able to handle it. Everybody's mentality can't handle that. And so you need to find that out before you put people in certain positions because, yeah, they got to deal with a lot. As a manager, supervisor, lead, whatever, you got to deal with a lot more than just the regular employee because you got to deal with all the personalities, not just one.
You got to, you know, and that's a good point. That's a very good point, Cotton. Because you're dealing, see, one thing, I remember a person saying that where if you've never worked in retail, you will never understand the ignorance of people in the world. And that's funny to me because it's true. Because you deal with all kinds of people every day.
Okay.
Every day you deal with all kinds of different personalities in the retail field. You really do.
Mm-hmm.
You deal with folks who are nice, kind, gorgeous, and then you really deal with the worst of the worst. People who feel like they're privy to whatever. You're supposed to stop whatever you're doing and deal with them. And that might be that one person who gets fed up because you're not stopping what you're doing and help them, and they're willing to pull out a gun.
Yeah.
So the odds are very rare, but there's always that possibility.
Yeah. So I do merchandising, you guys, right? I don't work for Tesla anymore. I do merchandising. And I go into these Targets and I go into these different stores. And I kid you not, when I go into Target is probably one of the worst stores that I have to deal with the people. And I'm not talking about the customers. I'm talking about the people that work there. They have the worst attitude. They have the worst disposition. They have the worst personalities that you could ever see when you have to, because I have to interact with them to get my job done. And I literally had to tell one of the ladies, I said, I'm not doing this store then if that's the case. She said, well, I want to speak to her. She said, I don't care. Call my supervisor. There's the number. But I'm not getting ready to work in this environment where you all are not allowing me to do my job faithfully and accurately the way it needs to be done. So sometimes you got to protect yourself from the nonsense. And she did call my supervisor, and my supervisor said, well, she can reject doing your store. If you're not complying with what she needs, she doesn't have to do your store. She says, well, I need my magazines done. Well, I mean, if you wanted your magazines done, then you would be complying with what I need to make sure that happens, but I'm not going to stay here. So thank you very much. Y'all have a nice day. But sometimes you got to protect yourself, but there are people that are afraid to speak up because it's somebody in a higher position, or they feel like the person is superior, or they feel like the person is better in some way. Speak up for yourself, because if you don't, you end up in certain types of situations because your mental can't handle certain things. I'm not going to put myself, and you should never put yourself in a situation. I don't care if it's a job paying you $90,000 a year. If it's not conducive to your mental health and it's stressing you out, then it's probably something you should probably get out of.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I was on a show earlier this evening, briefly, and one person, there was a topic that came up, and one person said that they admired Al Davis. As you guys know, some of you may know, he was the owner of the Raiders. And the Raiders got to being one of the most feared teams back in the 80s, 70s and 80s, you know, because of their ruthless way of playing and everything. Unfortunately, they're not that way anymore. But Al Davis made this statement, a comment. He said, I'd rather be feared than respected. Think about that. You can respect me later, but I want you to fear me first. What's your thoughts on that? Because it seems like that's the attitude now, that people rather be feared than respected. The way they come in the stores, the way they talk to folks, they're trying to throw fear in your mind. Ooh, wow, this is a tough guy. What's your thoughts about
that? This is the thing about somebody being feared. You're probably the first person they're going to go after because they fear you. But if they respect you, they're going to think twice about doing anything that's going to harm you. But if they fear you, you're the first person they're going to want to take out because they're going to think you're going to want to come after them. So okay. I'd rather be respected than feared, because there's a target on you when you're feared. It's just like the police. People fear the police. They already got a target on their back. That target's always there, period. I don't care if you just getting a speeding ticket. I have to get the speeding ticket. Like, you go into defense mode immediately trying to figure out how you're not going to get this ticket or if he's going to be a good officer. You know what I'm saying? There's so many things going on in that aspect. And I'm just saying, I'm using that as an example. But why do you want somebody to fear you opposed to respecting you? Because respect can go longer than fear.
Okay, but that's a good, okay. And I just brought that up because that was what someone said, but the thing is that it worked for Al Davis. But look at society now. People are how should I put this, are looking at being feared more than respected because people don't respect each other anymore. Now, granted, I do get some young folks be like, hey, OG, OG, hey, you know, this, that, and the other, you know, because they know I'm older, you know, so that's supposed to be respectful, calling me an OG, you know, but I'm not an original gangster. I'm just an older guy. But,
yeah.
And I guess that's their way of being respectful. But then with the group of or the young folks now, this generation, it's about being feared than respected because they don't respect each other. So going back to the story though, and let's not get off track. But going back to the story, and again, if you recall, like I said, I'm just reading what they found in his notes. And this is the one part that gets me more than anything else, is where he says, the associates gave me evil, twisted grins, mocked me, and celebrated my downfall the last day. That's why they suffer the same fate as me.
So in essence, what was he saying?
Excuse me?
He was saying, indirectly, they didn't respect me.
Okay. And also remember he says, gave me evil, twisted grins, which, right, was not respectful, right? Going back to what you said, by giving him what he saw as evil, twisted grins, mocked him and celebrated his downfall. Now my question is, what was his downfall?
Well,
was he
the store manager himself?
He put this all into his phone before he did what he did. But you understand my question? My question is, what was his downfall? Was he demoted? Of course he wasn't fired yet, because if he was fired, he would have been gone.
He wouldn't have been there.
Because
exactly.
He would have been there, right.
That's why I said it would be up to the store manager or the people that are still working there for us to know what downfall he's talking about. Either because it's definitely, whatever it is, it's work-related.
After then. I just feel like there's more to the story. And once they investigate it more and share more, I'm curious of where, according to Janet, and Janet, correct me if I'm wrong, you said he was a team lead. He was known as a team lead.
So what they've done is in every article, they either use team lead or they use manager. So it depends on
right.
who they interviewed at the time, I'm sure.
So that's the thing they have to clarify, because there's different levels of management. Team lead is the lowest level of management at a Walmart. That's the lowest level of supervisor, I should say, as a supervisor. Team lead is the lower. When they just say manager, that could be open because if the store manager is not there, right, and a customer has a complaint, and they say, I want to talk to a manager, and you go and you page, can I get a coach? And the customers, some of them know the difference between a manager, store manager, and a coach, and they'd be like, no, I don't want to talk to no assistant or anything. I want to talk to the manager, like the manager is going to be in the damn store 24 hours or, you know, doing two shifts. It's like, no, this is the manager for this particular shift right now. This is the highest you will get at this moment in time. There are times that where a manager will go, or I'm sorry, a manager will be off work. A coach could be at lunch. Guess who's in charge of the store? A couple of team leads, which is the lowest amount, or I'm sorry, the lowest level of supervision for the store. Okay? That happens. But I'm still curious about what he wrote. I'm curious about what he meant about his downfall. I'm really curious about that. But it is sad that it happened, that these six individuals or five, however the count is. Again, like I said, when they said six die at Walmart, one article says including the gunman. So that could be six, or it could have been five, or six plus him makes seven. It's not always clarified. You know what I'm saying? Not always the way you read it. And then come Friday, here comes another shooting at another Walmart on Black Friday. And I hate, you know, I'm not going to say I hate. I'm sorry I bring up these things because I look at where the world still goes on, you know, regardless of the holidays. And unfortunately, these things are going to continue to happen, and probably more so than we may understand. Probably more so. All right, so the time is now 7:24 p.m., and also prayers to the families and the loved ones. Sad to hear that, you know, well, anyone dying, but this 16-year-old dies. You know, is killed. Okay, so, wow, that's crazy. All right, so I want to go on to another topic real quick. Irene Cara, I'm sure many of you know who she was. Irene Cara, who did two hit songs for two hit movies, of course, Fame, and she did the song What a Feeling from Fame and Flashdance. She passes away at 63 years old in her Florida home. They haven't announced the cause of death, according to her publicist. You guys know who Irene Cara was, right?
I know who she is. I mean, I remember her.
Okay. You know, it's so ironic.
From Fame. She did Fame.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play this real quick. This was one of the announcements. Of course, the announcements going all around the world. I came across a bunch of them, and I decided just to play this one from a local news network. And then we'll get into a little bit about her career. And then something that really, really kind of bothers me, again, about how the media puts stuff out there. But here's a clip about her passing.
Well, we do have some sad news to share this morning. Irene Cara, the singer, has died at the age of 63. Yeah, she was the Oscar-winning singer of the title tracks to Fame and Flashdance. Her spokesperson confirmed the news late last night. Cara died in her Florida home of an undisclosed cause. Her publicist wrote on Twitter that Cara adored her fans and her legacy will live forever through her music and films.
Hello, I'm Mark Brown. Get more great.
Okay, so I just wanted to do a short thing there, but I didn't realize a lot of the other movies that she played in, but do you recall one movie that she played in, which is one of my favorite? You recall the movie Sparkle?
Yep. Sister Kate on One Wing.
It's surprising when Sister I looked Kate at the announcement. It's surprising when they didn't mention, because Sparkle is one of the best movies. I'm sorry. I know it's back in the day, but you think about, what's his name, the cat from, the guy from Miami Vice, the brother.
Michael Phillips.
Well,
Philip Michael Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah, he played in it. A few other well-known actors and actresses played in that. And you can't forget that fantastic soundtrack featuring the hit by Aretha Franklin, Giving Him Something He Can Feel, which still plays on the radio in the En Vogue version. Wow. You know, and you look at, I didn't realize she played in DC Cab. You know, co-wrote one of her hits, and she's an Oscar winner. Wow. This is a shock. You know, this is truly a shock.
I think I hear.
Yeah, this is a total shock to the music and film industry at 63 years old. So let me ask you this, since Cotton's the only one responding. How many times did you watch Fame, and how many times did you watch Flashdance that you recall? And did you watch the TV show Fame? I have to be honest, I never did watch the TV show. Hello, Cotton, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I said, how many times did you watch the movie Fame that you recall? Or the movie Flashdance? Probably a little bit before.
Fame, I probably watched a couple times, and Flashdance, I probably only seen it once, to be honest.
Be honest, I'm going to be the same way, yeah. Those were the type of movies, I guess, once you watch them once, you really don't have to watch them too many times.
Yeah, but now Sparkle, I watched that about 5-6 times.
See, I knew that was going to come out. Yeah. Now, you see the difference? You see the difference? The media talks about Fame and Flashdance, but see, if they talk to the people in the black community, they're going to be like, Fame? Yeah, I kind of remember that. Mm-hmm. Oh, Sparkle? I'm watching that later on tonight. You know, those are one of those types of movies you just got to watch more than once. There was some great acting in there. Interesting story.
Yeah.
Interesting. I like that answer 5 or 6 times. Yeah. And like I said, many of those actors and actresses went on to play in other roles. Philip Michael Thomas, when he was much younger, and then goes on to be in one of the biggest television shows in TV history, of course, Miami Vice. That's amazing. Wow, I'm sad to hear that she passed.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys. Just want to get your input on this, and it's kind of hard to segue to this because we didn't talk about certain stories that were happening prior to the holiday season, but you guys are aware of the death of a young lady in Mexico.
Shanquilla Robinson.
This year, I'm gonna be honest. It really broke my heart because I'm gonna play the race card because the thing is that this is black on black crime. Well, when I say race card, but I'm saying that you know how when we hear about a killing, especially with law enforcement involved, was it a black? You know. But when it's black-on-black crime, I hate that we make excuses for it. But this was black-on-black. And there are people saying that this was planned. And I want to get you guys' opinion on this. They say that this was a planned killing. They chose to go on this trip, and her so-called friends had planned on killing her. Mm-hmm. How true that is, I can't really say. Because if you look at social media, everybody wants to be an investigator, okay? They all come up with their own stories or their own way their investigations. But you know what? Sad thing is that you heard the story, but you're not hearing much about the investigation, the official one. Granted, now this is across the border, and the United States have to work with the Mexican government. But we're good at doing that when we want to, when we need to. To me, I think it's dragging their feet on this. The suspects came back here without the young lady. Like everything was cool. They claimed that she had alcohol poisoning. But after the autopsy, which is going to tell everything, she suffered, a broken back? I think that's correct.
And spine.
You don't get that from alcohol poisoning. And then here's another thing that really bothers me is that here's this asshole MF recording the fight. For you guys that didn't see the recording, I'm not going to recommend that you look at it if you don't like violence. To me, it's sad because the girl didn't fight back, and the guy who's recording it said, oh, you're not going to even try to fight back? I mean, what was the sense of you recording this? You knew something was about to go down. You knew it. That's why you turned on your camera. You're part of the plot. And the woman who attacked her, she's part of the murder. I'm sure she's part of the murder. And to me, that's enough evidence for suspicion of a murder. You don't have beef. And then, wait a minute, there's another clip where she comes into a room and there's a bunch of them standing there together talking, and all of a sudden they shut up. Hey, look, if you walk in the room while everybody's talking, and next thing you know they stop talking, you were part of the conversation. That's my opinion. But, Cotton, what do you think about this whole investigation? I mean, this is sad. This is really sad. And by them recording it and not thinking the fact that the police are going to take your phone and everything and look at everything that you recorded, photos, phone calls and everything. And here's the video showing the fight. Shouldn't that be, in your opinion, at least in mine, that should cause enough suspicion that they're involved in the murder to start with?
Of course. Well, so she got there on October the 28th. And on October the 29th, she was dead.
The next day.
So I won't go so far as to say they plan to kill her. I will go so far as to say, because this is what our young people like to do, they wanted to fight her. They wanted to rough her up. They wanted to cause harm to her. They just wasn't expecting it to cause death. That's just my take. That's just my theory. Because our young people think that it's, and this is why, because not only did he start filming, there was another young lady that was in the room that also started filming as well. So they pulled out their cameras mm-hmm. with the intent to watch this person beat or fight this other person, knowing that she probably either wasn't going to fight or may not win the fight. But the fact mm-hmm. that she didn't want to fight, and y'all, nobody stepped in to help. This is why I'm very, I tell my kids, hey, who are your friends? I need to know. Because mm-hmm. I don't know them like that. I don't know that they're going to have your back 100%. You know, you hope that your kids choose wisely no matter what the age is. But these millennials, these new people, these new breed of kids think that fighting and being disrespectful is the new thing. And that's what's going to get them a longer life. But they've extradited this alleged friend who caused the death of Shanquilla. So she's been extradited back to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So to be honest, I had not known that she was extradited back because, of course, the murder happened in another country. Okay.
Yes.
It happened in Mexico, mm-hmm. not in the United States. But, you know, that it to be honest, when I first saw the fighting video, I mean, my heart dropped. I'm like, wow, this girl is just putting her hands up. She's not swinging back at all. She hits the floor. And then this punk-ass motherfucker sit up and say, Shanquilla, you're not going to even try to fight back?
Yeah.
Who is his ass? He
Instead
needs his
of stopping
ass.
It.
Yeah, right.
Instead of stopping
he
it, yeah.
He needs his ass but, royally.
You know, if you go on TikTok, you'll see tons of people that are posting about this woman, this young lady. Tons.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're not just Americans. You got Asian people in Asia. You got people in
mm-hmm.
Mexico posting about
Around
this young lady because people want justice for her. And the fact that this is very horrific that you're with your friends and your friends, and I'm doing air quotes, friends would do this to you.
So-called
and then
friends.
Leave you in another country dead in a whole nother mm-hmm. country where you don't know you're dead. Like,
I've been trying to kill
all them kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No family. And I saw the video where the guy who was videotaping it sits there and tells a bald-ass lie about what had happened. Have you seen that?
I didn't see that, but I heard that he called the mom and told her it was alcohol poisoning. What?
And then after the autopsy, when they revealed what the cause of death was, the mom says she hasn't heard from him since.
Mm.
That ain't guilt. I don't know what the hell is. And not saying guilt where, you know, the law way, but that's a guilt that he's showing. He know what the hell happened. He knows exactly what happened, and he's part of it. And to be honest, I mean, it just frustrates the shit out of me because the thing is that we're, you know, we talk about on this show and many other shows about police brutality, but what about community brutality and not stepping up and reporting and trying to save one another? Why do we have all these crazy packs and gangs and all this type of crap killing each other, but then you want to get mad when the white man does shit? I'm just being honest. And I have to agree to, I mean, I have to be honest with myself. But that where, you know, two wrongs won't make a right. Yeah, those officers are wrong. They should be, you know, arrested. By the way, the incident that happened in the jail cell, there have been arrests of some officers. You guys, if you haven't seen that video, well, what, six,
yeah.
five or six officers jumped on an inmate? But they're supposed to protect
mm-hmm.
and serve. Meaning, okay, these, I'm sorry,
I'm gonna,
these were not
I'm
police
gonna,
officers.
I'm going to add
these
to
were
this.
Correctional officers. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, they called the doctor and told him that she was alcohol poisoning. So when he wanted to have her taken to the hospital. Her friends refused, so-called friends refused, and wanted her to be worked on there at the place.
Hotel.
And so he realized that she was not breathing properly and everything, and he started administering CPR. But by the time the other people came there and everything, she was gone. They didn't want her to go to the hospital because they know it wasn't alcohol poisoning, and they had beat her. Her net worth was over $700,000. She had a company. It was just jealousy. Mm-hmm. And she had money when she went there, but they took that money too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so her net worth was $700,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think she's
25. She's only 25.
Yeah, 25.
25.
Yeah.
So 26, in her 20s. Yeah, her mid 20s. Okay. So, I know this is after the fact, but you know, investigations go back, right? So I'm hoping that during this investigation, they look at all that, which I'm pretty sure they. I mean, if they're smart investigators. Look at who knew her network, who were the closest ones around her. Look at what their situations were, right? Because it's gonna actually open up a lot of it's gonna give a lot of answers of how this all went down. Who paid for that whole trip? Did she pay for some of those folks? You follow me?
She might have. I think they had said on Instagram that she had over $5,000 on her when she went there.
Okay. Now, that's what they say on Instagram. I don't know where that information comes from, but the only thing I'm saying is that where that should be part of, I'm sure it's part of the investigation. There should be no excuse for it not to be, of who financed this whole trip. Okay. When was it planned? How was it planned? All of that. And I'm saying, I'm hoping they're looking at that. And if she bought all that stuff for them, or you know what I'm saying, arranged the whole trip, who suggested the whole thing? All that needs to be under scrutiny.
Mm-hmm.
Was it her or was it one of the friends that, hey, girl, let's go on down to Mexico. No, you got the money, girl. Come on, man. I'll pay you back. However it worked out.
Look at her and look at her friends. She was beautiful. Her friends were.
Oh, yeah, she was beautiful. Well,
yeah.
I never really saw a close photo of her friends, but I saw the photos. Of course, you know, social media
is
very heartbroken over her. I haven't seen what her friends look like. But again, if you look at, I saw the video that her father did, and he said, with all due respect to him, he said, had she been here, her friends here, that would have never happened. And that kind of bothered me because I'm like, look, if they were out for her, they would have got her one way or the other. Okay? Whether she was in Mexico or here. I understand his point. That if she was around her real friends, and maybe he's right, you know, some of her other friends here in the States that were not part of that crew probably would have told her, hey, girl, don't do that. I don't trust them. There's something about them. You know what I mean? They probably could have gave her a heads up. They don't mean you any good. And maybe somebody should have done that. But obviously it's too late.
The other side of that is that They're implying that the friends who put their kilter basically was actually born a man.
Born what?
I never heard that. A man.
Born a man.
No, transsexual. That the
transgender.
Person that is actually transgender. I'm sorry, transgender.
Yes,
not sexual,
transgender.
Yeah. Transgender. So meaning, yeah. More testosterone and stronger, however you want to put it. If that's the case, that makes it even worse, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That here's a man actually beating a woman.
And part of the reason why it became relevant is because Mexico sees transgenders differently than we do. And so... So if they're charging them, this person in Mexico, it becomes, you're not a woman. You are a man in their eyes. You put your hands on a woman, period. That's just how they, transgender or not, Now you're being tried differently.
Well, your charge is right. Your charge is like a man would be charged. It shouldn't be. Well, I understand what you're saying, but the judge is gonna make that determination. Do I look at this as a woman on woman? Because that's gonna play a role. I know a lot of folks are gonna say, well, it shouldn't. No, if you were born a man,
it definitely does.
You should be considered a man, not a woman.
Yeah, because like you said, testosterone and the strength of you is different than that of an actual woman.
Right. And just looking at the video of when the fight broke out and the punches given, this young lady did not respond. She just was trying to back away, got hit, and hits the floor. The strength of those punches, and I'm just saying, if this is true, what you're saying, is the strength of a man.
Those blows, because I saw the video, those blows, those definitely, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you hear about a fight, it's like your girlfriend fought you, and they made you, like, what did you do, hit your head on something? Because that's what you would think. You think, did you hit your head? Did they slam your head into something? But in the video, that never happened. So those blows came from you, from this person that caused my spine and my neck to be in the to be in a position it was in. Definitely, probably came from somebody stronger than a woman.
Mm-hmm. And she was fighting like a man. It was was fighting like a man. But she said she's not going to jail. But she going somewhere because the Mexico. They had permission to expedite her.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well,
and that's bad.
I do believe that there is, the crime happened in Mexico, but, right, I mean, an attack on a U.S. citizen, whether you're a citizen of the United States or not, some countries will expedite you and have you face trial in the United States. Right? They have that option. So I hope Mexico extradite this individual back to the United States after they, deal with that and let the courts here handle that. Because that's, to me, that's premeditated murder. You may not meant to kill them. Well, I won't say premeditated, but you did plan it. You hemmed her up. You went into a fight first. For what reason? We don't know all the details, but you staged a fight. You set up a fight.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that. You set this up to be a fight. And the individuals who recorded knew, in my opinion now, knew what was going to go down. You all knew this shit.
Mm-hmm.
You all planned it. You knew it. I don't give a shit if you're black, white, or what. You knew what you were about to do was wrong. And this girl had no defense, no backup, no real friends.
Didn't try to fight at all, and that's sad. That's sad that you would go after somebody like that.
Mm-hmm. And again, the question is, why? What did she do to you?
What did she do to you?
What did she do to you? We don't know. We just know that she's dead.
Yeah,
We don't know what the motive was. We don't know. Well, yeah, you could say jealousy, but if you that damn jealous, you got a really I'm not going to even say a mental issue because that would be your defense. No, you're just an evil ass piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
You're jealous of somebody that has more than you, and you're willing to beat them down to the point of death. You're just an evil ass piece of shit. You're sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You have no self-esteem, no motivation whatsoever. So, and I'm sorry. I'm not gonna get too upset about it. But I'm just like, when we talk about things that happen to black people from other people, We got to remember sometimes we do all this damage to ourselves. And you know what white folks say? You all do the same shit, if not worse. And that's what I hate is that when we hear about white cops shooting black folks and we jump up and down, we march in the streets and shit, but then when we attack our own, nobody has anything to say. Nobody speaks up about it.
Mm.
Yep.
We don't. Some of us do, but not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough to make it understandable to the next generation. I ain't talking about this one, but the next generation that comes up, all they're going to do is say, well, this is acceptable. This is society. This is the way of the world. This is the way of our community. We accept it, and it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. We give ourselves a pass when we're killing ourselves. I guarantee you there's a lot of folks right now that don't know shit about the story. I promise you, in the black community, that don't know shit about it. And there's some who do. And be like, well, if that was me.
Well, the FBI is investigating, so hopefully they'll come up with something.
I know, but I'm saying, but there's a lot of folks who are saying right now, if that was me, that shit would have never happened. Just like, if I was a slave, shit, Massa, kiss my ass. Yeah, Massa would have beat your ass to death. That's the fact of it. Can't say what could have, you know, could have, would have, should have. You got to stop it now. In our own community. Now, going back to the fear factor, which we spoke on, yeah, some folks are afraid to say something about what they saw, what they heard. Fortunately, later on down the road, in some cases, some folks feel like it's safe to go ahead and speak on who, you know, Ray Ray is the one who shot so-and-so, you know, here in the States, right, and everything. Because they're in fear of their lives, that the gangs and the gang members and everything know who you are, where you live. They'll find out I said something and everything. I get that. I get it. But the thing is that we're, and I commend the people who feel comfortable and speak out, you know, even though you're in fear. I'm sorry. If I see a person, no, Betty, and I'm not going to apologize. If I see a person shoot and kill someone on the street and I know a description of them, I'm going to tell it. Because you just took that person's life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if I have to lose money, I'm going to say this. If I have to lose my life in order for you to get some evidence of how this person lost their life, I'm willing to do it. I'm going to die anyway. But at least that's a step forward. Instead of me having to be worried about that same individual going around killing even more folks, which you guys have seen many of stories, have heard many of stories of individuals who've been on killing sprees and everything, and people being in the crossfire, you know, innocent folks dying. I'm going to sacrifice my life and give that person up so they can't do it again. I'm just being honest. Get that person off the street.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stand up for something, then you fall for any damn thing.
Yeah.
And hopefully the next generation will have more backbone. Stand up for their community. Stand up for your family, first of all. Because your family members could be a victim of some stupid-ass shit. So we're almost at the top of the hour. I know we don't have time to talk about another story and everything. Before we go, we have 5 minutes. I added a few more minutes because I know that I definitely want Cotton to share information about her two great shows that are here on the TMGN, and truly appreciate her being here on the TMGN network. Love her concept, her ideas, her shows. Before I go to Cotton, I want to go to the lady of the house, the one and only Janet Davis. We did speak on Thanksgiving. Like I said, I added a little bit more time. Cotton, I think you missed it, but Janet shared earlier in the show that she made a macaroni and cheese with 16
Not
cheese.
Not macaroni. Shells. Small, tiny
shells.
Shells,
I'm sorry.
I don't
with
do 16 macaroni.
16 cheeses. Okay, shells. Even though it's somewhat part of the, you know, dough family, which makes, but I get you, Janet. I get you. But I have to ask, Cotton, have you ever had a 16 shell or macaroni or however it is with 16 cheeses?
Not to my knowledge. I didn't make it.
I'm trying to figure this one out. I've been sitting here and I've been thinking of all the cheeses that I've worn.
I use 16 cheeses.
I'm serious. I use half and half milk and butter. Janet, I wrote down almost every cheese I can think of. I haven't even got to 7, let alone 16. That's interesting, though. All right. I see a hand wave. I'm going to go ahead and open up this microphone. I see a hand wave. I added a few more minutes on to the show so we can all, you know, say what we got to say. I hate when the show just ends abruptly. 816-915, wave their hand. I don't recognize this number, but I'm going to go ahead and open up their mic. And welcome to the show. Happy Saturday.
Evening, family.
Hello.
This is Lady J.
I was about to say that. I said I've seen this number here, and I knew that Cotton was here. I said that might be one of the co-hosts of Let's Talk About It, but I didn't want to throw out the wrong name. Lady Justice, how you doing? Happy Saturday to you. What's on your mind?
I'm trying to slow down. I'm listening to all y'all stuff. You know, I had to tune in when I heard you start talking about Thanksgiving, because I can sit down.
Well, you know, I had to go back to it, you know, because we were talking about Black Friday and this and the other, but, you know, everybody loves to talk about food. So, Cotton, I'm sorry, Janet said 16 cheese, not macaroni. She said it's not macaroni, it's shells. Okay, so.
Tiny shells.
Tiny shells. I've never heard of that. But anyway, how was your holiday?
It was awesome. I'm finally sitting down from it.
Okay. All right. And if you don't mind, what was your menu?
We had
everything.
We had a double ham. We had turkey. We had stuffing. We had mac and cheese. We had greens and neck bones. We had cream corn. We had apple pie, we had peanut butter cookies, we had oatmeal cookies, we had sweet potato pie, we had pineapple upside down cake, you name it, we had it. And then I ended up having to make a strawberry cheesecake. I had never made one.
Love.
I made a lemon cream pies with pecan crust.
Oh, you know what? I did make a pineapple cream pie, too, with graham cracker crust. Little individual one.
Look, she's like, I forgot about this other sweet tart I made. You forgot that you made that?
I did.
That's great.
I did. All on Facebook, though. I had everybody tired. They told me today I wore them out in the kitchen.
Cotton, what about yourself? Did you make something?
Our menu was small because, you know, it was just a few of us, but we had Cornish hens. We didn't do traditional. We did Cornish hens with chicken, baked chicken, baked Cornish hens.
greens, mac and cheese, dressing. I made sweet potato pies. My daughter, now all of what I just named, my daughter made that, and I made sweet potato pies. So,
okay.
And she made banana pudding. So, yeah.
Okay.
Dang, I forgot I made
candy. And you forgot what now?
I said I forgot I made some candy yams too.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and that yams, man, fire.
Wow.
Well, we had so much stuff, I couldn't even tell you everything we had, but I know for the main meat, we had a fried turkey, we had a regular turkey, we had cornbread dressing, we had the shells and mac and cheese. We had sweet potato pies, lemon cream pies, peach cobbler. We had a four-layer cake with chocolate frosting, green beans, collard greens, corn on the cob, some of everything, broccoli salad, you name it, we had it. You know, I had to tell my cousin he was cut off. He couldn't go back and eat anymore. He made four trips.
Okay, so since you cut him off, okay, you said you had to tell him he was cut off. But here's a good question, and I happened to see this on a shelf the other day. When's the best, what is recommended to stop eating the leftovers? What do you think? How long should you keep your Thanksgiving leftovers from Thursday? What's the safest?
I do a couple of days, then I take and make TV dinners and throw and put it in the freezer, so I can pop it in the microwave when I want to heat something up. But you know, I just no more than a couple of days, I'll keep it in the refrigerator and then I package it up and freeze it, make dinners. If it's anything left
okay.
over.
Okay.
All Thanksgiving food should be gone in a week. If you still got Thanksgiving food after a week, you need to throw it out and do not eat it. Do not pass go. Do not collect no more turkeys, okay?
Mm-hmm. I try to cook everything the day of or maybe that night before. That way there's not a couple of days prior to Thanksgiving because, you know, food don't last forever, you know. So
right.
I cook fast. So it don't take long for me to prep and put things together.
Okay, well, Lady Justice, what do you think? How long should you keep Thanksgiving food?
After Thanksgiving night is too long. Because in my house, I probably don't have no food. I don't have, number one,
after
I probably don't have a refrigerator. And number two, this house don't eat leftovers.
Okay. Now, let me tell you what a so-called expert said. After Thanksgiving night, by Monday, it should be gone, frozen or destroyed. Okay, by Monday. Mm-hmm. You should not eat any food from Thanksgiving after Monday unless you freeze it. In fact, they recommended don't use freezer bags if you have the system where you can – you know what I'm saying? The one that, no, you don't, because I haven't told you. You know, where you can get all the air out?
Uh-huh.
Right. That's the best way to do it. It will last longer. The only thing they say that you can keep, say sauces, you know, cranberry sauce, your giblet gravy and everything, you can save those items for up to 10 days, okay, if it's in a sealed container. But as far as the food, by Monday, it should be gone. If you make turkey salad or whatever, you still need to, if it's a lot left, you still need to put it in a freezer bag or one of the, you know, the ones I'm trying to explain, and put it away and freeze it. I agree with that.
I have a
question.
By
Monday, it should be gone. Go ahead.
I have a question. are these white experts or black experts? Because
I had a feeling that was going to be asked. But no, this was a black expert who said that, you know, just sitting inside the refrigerator for a week, you know, they said that is not safe. But this was a black person. Trust me, I always take a look at it. I know sometimes white folks, you know, that try to be experts about how us black folks save food. But this was a black expert who said, no, to be all cautious. And like Janet said, freeze it, which is better. And the main thing also
on the temperature in your refrigerator.
When you freeze it, but see, here's the thing. When you put it in the freezer, it's safer from bacteria from other foods too. You know what I mean? It's safer from anything else besides a refrigerator. When you put it into a freezer bag and everything, it's safer from other contaminations if you touch it, this, any other, transfer certain things. I get what they're saying. To me, that makes sense, and I'm going to, you know, follow that just to be cautious.
And FYI,
Okay, but I got to read this. But no, go ahead. I'm sorry, Lady J.
FYI, keep it in the refrigerator or freeze it. Don't be keeping it sitting out on the table like a gift.
Right.
And then 2 days later, you want to put it in the refrigerator. I'm not eating with you, homie. No.
At all. No, me either.
Right.
But I wanted to say it also depends on the temperature in your refrigerator. You know, because sometimes people don't have it down low enough where things spoil just by sitting in there.
Got to be below 40.
Temperature. Right.
Got to be below 40. Now, I gotta read this. This came from, Miss Penny Ford. Janet, you know who. I don't know if the rest of the ladies or anyone else that is listening. Penny Ford, recording artist and everything. She lives in Germany. She's been a guest on the show before. She's amazing, but she posted this a few days back. Said this is really funny. Some folks don't agree with it. She says exaggerating, but close to true. Thanks for sharing, Philip Wu. He put here, and this is a little long the list, but white people's Thanksgiving dinner, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. The menu: roasted turkey, stuffing, gravy, cranberry sauce with whole cranberries in it. Sweet potatoes, mashed potatoes, green bean casserole, carrot souffle, rolls, congenial salad, which you know what that is, okay, the jello type thing, I guess. Hold on, I'm almost done. I scroll down. Oh, pumpkin pie, sangria, lemon tea, total amount of attendance, 4 to 10 people, not including dogs and cats, that sit at the table. That's white people's Thanksgiving, according to this guy. Y'all ready for the blacklist that he posted? Black people's Thanksgiving. Y'all hear me?
We hear you.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Smoked turkey, baked turkey, fried chicken, catfish, roast beef, chitlings, smoked ham, honey-baked ham, country ham, ribs, beef and pork, dressings with turkey baked in it, giblet gravy, jelly candy, canned cranberry sauce, turnip greens, collard greens, mustard greens, mixed greens. Should I go on? I'm asking y'all. Should I go on?
Go on,
hello?
Michael, go on.
Boiled
go on.
Okra, fried okra, cabbage, green beans, baked mac and cheese, black-eyed peas, broccoli rice casserole, sweet potato casserole, candied yams, potato salad, tuna salad, tossed salad, pasta salad, spaghetti, lasagna, shrimp, crab legs, fettuccine alfredo, gumbo, deviled eggs, roll-tail cheese dip. Should I go on? Okay, I'll go on. Let's see. Corn muffins, hot water cornbread, dinner rolls, butter rolls,
sweet potato pie, King's Hawaiian savory butter rolls, all of the sold-out patty LaBelle pies, pecan pie, egg pie, chest pie, chocolate pie, peach cobbler, punch bowl cake, banana pudding, lemon cake, pound cake, red velvet cake, cheesecake, German chocolate cake, caramel cake, yellow cake with chocolate frosting, carrot cake, Sakatumi cake, fried bread, enchiladas, strudel, pot roast, popcorn shrimp, shrimp kebab, fried shrimp, pineapple shrimp, oh, shrimp and grits, shrimp and gravy, birthday cake, bean pies, Little Debbie's, pot pies, dirty rice, pig beak, hog maws, cottle salami, jalapeno poppers, cottage cheese, egg foo young, trout, Vienna sausage, potted meats, sardines, ramen noodles, taco salad, Salisbury steak, hot pockets, pickles, Frito pies, watermelon, hot dog casserole, pork rind, broccoli and cheese casserole, black licorice, hamburger helper, chocolate covered raisins. Should I go on?
No. I'm ready to get off.
This is what the cat tasted. But you know what? To be honest, I know it may sound racial, but a lot of that shit is true because some of that you will see at a Black Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, because you named almost everything we had. We had roast, we had ham, we had turkey, two different ways. I mean, we had a lot of food, hog maw.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find.
Is that all the bad stuff for you?
That's porky pig. Yeah. I mean, come on, man. That's hog maws. You know, but no, but when he posted this, I found it comical. I didn't look at it racist because I have been to some Thanksgiving dinners where you see stuff on the table, you'd be like, okay, I didn't expect to see this. You know, hamburger helper. They'd be like, no, you grown folks can't touch that. That's for the kids. That's for the kids. The turkey's for us. That's for the kids. That's what they love. They love hamburger helper. They don't want no damn turkey. You know what I'm saying? So we are creative. So, but one thing that I think he missed out on the list, and I told him, was hot wings. Because we will buy some hot wings.
Some what?
Hot wings. Some people, trust me, some people will go and get a platter of hot wings for Thanksgiving. Even though they got the turkey and the ham, they will put those hot wings or ranch on the table. I've been to a Thanksgiving dinner and seen it. Because we try to please everybody, in a sense. So, with that being said, all right, ladies, we're down to our last 15 minutes. We're going to get on out of here. I did add another 30 minutes to the show so that we can go ahead and let everybody give a shout out. And real quick, Lady Justice, just tell us what you got planned coming up soon. I believe that, if I got this right, I believe that you're working on another book or another or starting your own show or wanting to start a show, kind of like get me up to date of what's happening with you in this.
Yes. So what's new and exciting is, of course, I wrote my first book, and it's called Blinded, Through My Eyes, the Truth, by Lady Justice. It's on sale on Amazon. I am in the middle of writing the next phase of that, which would be what happened next in life. I haven't titled that book yet. And the next exciting venture that I'm going into is right now we're in the midst of creating two Roku TV channels.
Okay.
The first one would be called Buddy's Construction Network with Lady J. And then the second one will be the Lady Justice Network. And what I intend to do on the Buddy's Construction Network with Lady J is to show people all of the things that my husband does in his construction business, kind of like a flip this house Kansas City style.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lady Justice Network is going to encompass the Lemonade with Lady J talk show. It will have all the different arts and crafts that I do. It will have politics involved, so conversations about politics. I'll interview politicians. I will showcase different clothing lines that I'm coming up with right now. So it's I'm excited. It's a lot going on with me, always.
Fantastic. Yeah. It's interesting that you said that because, to be honest, I looked into that Roku. In fact, it's beyond Roku. There's even more. And they constantly – I looked into it, and they constantly sending me messages saying, TMGS, Michael, we got a great discount for you. And I'm like, okay, what kind? You know, so it sounds interesting because that is great. And you know, I wish I had the finance to do so, but it sounds great because everybody got Roku and Roku televisions. If they don't have a Roku television, they got a Roku device, right? Most folks now. You know, so that's a great way of doing it. And let me know how that goes, you know, because I've kind of like did the research on it and sounds interesting. And now they're giving me better ideals and also so-called discounts, but that's the future. You know, when you got TVs that there's companies that are putting out television that have this one device where you can get all this, and if you're into the industry, you know that damn near every house in America has Roku access. You know,
what could be better? I'm hoping some of these books that are written, like even my best friend Cotton Campbell's books, I can even have reading sessions because, you know, let's just be honest, some of us still can't read, but we want to know what we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So like Mr. Rogers type of a show, you know, where you can get Cotton's books, sit there and read them, you know, read my books, read other people's books that are out here that have things in them to offer that we really need to be listening to. And they're just hidden in books.
It's a Mr. Rogers type of show for young and old, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great idea. I like that. You know, old concepts never die. You know, history always repeats itself. Glad that you said that because things that they think is old are coming back. You guys realize that vinyl is coming back. Records are coming back. People are buying record players more so now than ever before in the last 15, 20 years are buying record players. You got record players now that you can take your wax, your vinyl, and actually the players will convert it into digital where you can have it on your phone or on your laptop and everything. And even Walmart and a few other stores are stocking in more vinyl, colored vinyl. They had a bunch of legends like, of course, Prince and quite a few other artists where they have a virgin vinyl. And virgin vinyl, meaning, you know, back in the day, they used to take the old records and melt them down and make new records. No, this is not recycled vinyl. It's all new, and it's colored and everything. I remember back in the day when they used to have a picture disc where they had the picture of the artist on it. I have a few of them myself. Which I know they're collector's items. I'm never going to give them away. Oh, my God, I got so many records. And I ran into a guy that has a old record shop, you know, old stuff, and he and I have been talking, and one day we're going to get together, and I'm going to take a lot of my collection, not say I'm going to sell them to him now, but I'm going to take that, depending on what it is that I get from it, and, of course, invest into my grandchildren's school fund. So, vinyl is coming back. But that's great, you know, that you're doing that with the Roku thing. But anyway, too much time because we're about to get out of here. Let me go to Cotton. Cotton, what you got coming? You got so much on your plate. You got another great show scheduled for us soon. Give us a little information on that.
Yes, I'm We have the open mic that's coming up. We have the Let's Talk About It with the ladies of TMZN. I just released the next poetry book titled Inspired by You, subtitled Spiritual Love. I will be relocating to Las Vegas. So I'll be doing some shows in Las Vegas. And of course, I'll be somewhere on the Lady Justice Network. I'll be popping up there coming up pretty, you know, whenever that's done. So we have a lot of stuff going on and a lot of stuff that we plan on doing. So I'm excited about everything that we have coming up.
Fantastic. And I'll be releasing a movie and a book and a TV show soon. You all know I'm bullshit.
Nice.
I'll be releasing a new movie, a TV show, a commercial, what else? A record. Let's see what else I'm going to be releasing. No, honestly, I'm just joking.
Hey, I'm thinking about it because you know I can sing. See, that's another talent you didn't even know I had.
That you can sing?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
All right.
Now, you write your own songs?
I have never.
You do?
Tried.
Okay. What's the title of one of your songs? I want to hear this.
I didn't say I wrote a song.
I said, but you can sing. Oh, okay, so you're going to be doing some singing. Are you writing any songs?
I have never tried. I'm sure Cotton will probably push me toward it, like she pushed me to write the book.
Yep.
Okay.
And let me say this. So one of our favorite songs to do when we and her get together is Love Saw It by Karen White. That's our thing.
Okay.
So if you wanted to sing something, pick that song. Or Anita Baker.
Okay. Sounds good. All right, so Love Saw It by Karen White. And, of course, Babyface, the original version, is on there. That's good. Okay, that's a good choice. Fantastic choice. No, you know, to be honest, some folks said, Michael, you need to write a story. And I'm like, maybe. I share some of mine from time to time. But maybe I might one day soon, and I'll make that decision the first of the year. But I'm really leaning towards that because there's so much I can't share. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but there's a lot of stuff you guys don't know. And a lot of folks, when I talked to them, they said, I didn't know. Even Karen said, I didn't know that you knew so-and-so. One time we were backstage at a concert because I was talking to the guitar player in the band that was with her. And he and I knew a bunch of people, right? And we were just chatting it up, just chopping it up. And she was like, wait a minute, you know so-and-so? I'm like, yeah, we've been knowing each other since when I lived in California and blah, blah, blah. She's like, wow, I didn't know that. And I'm like, yeah, there's a lot people don't know. But I might consider doing a book sometime. You'll be interested in stories. So anyway, well, look, ladies, thank you so much for tuning in this evening. I appreciate it. And really love you, Cotton and Lady J, for great shows. The first and third of each month, make sure you tune into Let's Talk About It, and also tune into Late Night. Give the total title right again. I'm sorry. Late Night. I miss how to say the title. Not on us. I'm sorry?
Open mic.
I'm sorry. I knew I missed something. Open mic Late Night. Okay, so make sure you guys tune in. Great show. Great conversation. Great callers who call in with some great questions and comments during the conversation. Unfortunately, I'm not able to make every show, which I wouldn't do that anyway, but I try to tune in when possible. Sometimes I'm there in the background. Sometimes I'm in the back in the booth in the corner in the dark, and I'm listening and really enjoy. So without further ado, you guys, want to thank everyone again for tuning in tonight. Great conversation, great topics. And we'll see you next Saturday here on the TMGS, on the Michael Gay Show, on the TMG and the Michael Gay Network, home of TMGS, open mic late night, and let's talk about it. All right. So we're going to get out of here, right? With the last thing I want to say, though, I want to thank all the supporters, all the co-hosts, all the callers, the listeners, for supporting the show, for being here, and over the years we've just been blessed. And I have to sit back and think about that for a moment. You know, I've been doing this for quite a while now, and through independently through the JK Network, and now with our own network, it's a great journey, and it's just awesome, and I'm just so appreciative of all the individuals who I've met and individuals I continue to meet, folks that work with me, Janet Davis, Cotton Campbell. Thank you to ladies who really have a lot of control of the show and of the network and taking it on themselves to do what we do and make it work. You know, granted, the TMGS is not, or the TMGN, the network, wouldn't be possible without all the individuals who are always working and doing things to keep this broadcast live, okay? So my much love and thanks to all of them, all right? Truly, I truly, truly love and respect you. All right, so with that being said, I guess I'm done, huh? I have no more to say. All right, ladies, thank you so much. See you guys next week. And make sure you tune into the shows. All right. Good night. God bless. Here's conversation piece written by Mr. Joe Foxworth, former keyboard player for the group Ozone on the Motown label. He gave this track to us, and I appreciate it for the show. And coming up the first of the year, we have a new opening theme that's going to be coming for TMGS, written by Mr. Darren Durst, another former musician for the group Ozone. And he's sending us over another new great opening theme for the show. All right, you guys, good night. God bless. Peace.